This conference will now be recorded.
Hi Ann, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mike?
Not too bad. Not too bad, considering. You know, not snowing, not freezing.
True.
But it soon will be. You know.
You're right.
All right. Are we ready now?
All set to start.
Okay, Kevin, maybe you want to, for the record, just tell us again who's present.
You have myself, Mike Shea, Sharon Trafficante, and Alex Peterson.
Okay,
and Bose, yes. And Bose, Wells Fargo Advisors.
And Mike Long. Okay, let's call the meeting to order. Is there any other minutes trivia we got to take care of first? If not, we'll move on. First item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from a long time ago, July 17th, 2019. Any comments? No. All right. All in favor, let's say aye. Aye. Opposed? Minutes are accepted. All right. So now we move right smack into the meat of the meeting on a market overview. And I guess you're going to probably lead us with that, are you?
I will. I thought we would just briefly talk about what Wells Fargo thinks is going to happen in the near future, because we all have a crystal ball right now in this crazy time. But, you know, with the pandemic, we had polarizing politics, social unrest, unprecedented weather events that happened. And the first recession or bear market in the equities market in over a decade. So it really has been a very turbulent year for the markets. And although these pressures may have long-term implications, we see potential for the investment for investment opportunities in the months ahead. So we think that as the U.S. gets, you know, the conditions get better in healthcare and the economy on a whole, that we think the U.S. will lead the way with China in a global recovery. So what we're thinking is we're very pro-U.S. stocks. We're kind of worried about Europe right now. And the main reason for that is, again, the pandemic. And we think they're going to take a little longer to get out of it than the US. We think the dollar is going to decrease a little bit with everything going on and with the Fed continuing to put money into the economy. But overall, we see a slowly recovering economy on the global event. So that the only thing I think we're concerned about is South America. We think there'll still be issues there. So we believe right now that it's advantageous to be in the market. Any questions on that?
Well, that's encouraging, actually.
Yeah.
I don't have any questions.
All right.
Kevin, you
I'm all set.
Questions? Okay. Let
okay,
us proceed.
So, I would like to take over or share my screen, but I think you as the organizer, Alex, have to allow me to do that.
I'm sorry, what are we doing here now?
I'm going to share my screen, Mike.
Oh, is that something
okay.
I can share too?
Yeah, I got it. Good. Perfect. Thank you. Now, I have the reports here on my screen, so I thought I would just, there you go, put those up so we can talk about the investments. So if I'm looking at, you know,
excuse
as
me,
I
can
mentioned,
I hold on?
Sure.
Can you hold on for just a second? Now, this is not a screen that I can look at, right?
Did you call in, or are you did you go on through your computer?
Well, I called in.
Okay. So, no, but you should have the reports, Mike.
I do have the reports.
These are the same reports that you provided previously, right?
Right, exactly right.
Okay.
So the first report I'm going to is the Morningstar report, Mike.
Okay.
And this is, it looks like an Excel worksheet. I did have to save it in a PDF to send it out to you. But this is the report we normally go through. And I have this open, but I also wanted to talk a minute about the monitoring report that I also sent you. So this is what's called the FI360 monitoring report. And let me just explain the difference between that and the Morningstar we've been doing in the past. By going to Nationwide, some of your funds, when we were at Principal, we had the ability to put onto FI360. With the funds we're using now, we have the ability to put them all onto the FI360 reporting. And basically, this has become a standard in looking at investments in qualified plans. And so what they do is they look at 11 different criteria when deciding on if a fund is doing well or not. So it's not just, okay, here's your investment results. It's they're looking at how long the fund has been in place, how long the manager has been there on the fund. They look at your returns. They look at your the risk you're taking to do that. They're looking at the fees. They're looking at how much money you have in each one of these funds. Does it have more than 75 million? They're also looking at if you say you're a large cap stock fund, do you have at least 80% in large cap stocks? If you say you are a growth manager, you have 80% of your stocks in growth stocks. So they really kind of doing a deep down dive when they look at your funds. Now, the benefit of this is just giving us another way to review your funds. I know we're only using two funds right now, but we're still responsible for the funds that we're offering in the plan. So this particular fund goes report goes through and evaluates all of your funds, and they evaluate them from 0 to 100, 0 being the best. And so when they're looking, sorry, I keep moving around. What they're looking at is 0 is best, 100 is worst. And when we look at this and we start to think about when we're going to put somebody on a watch list, this kind of gives us a better idea. Because if somebody, according to Wells Fargo's thoughts here, if one of the funds falls into the third or fourth quartile when we're reviewing these funds, that automatically puts them on our watch list. That doesn't mean we have to make any changes with the fund, but what it does mean is that we're watching it, we're going to continue to watch it and go forward. So right now, the only fund that falls on the watch list is the Janus Henderson Triton Fund, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So I just thought I'd just add this to our reports and just continue to use this, because it just is an added value when reviewing the plan.
Sure, that's good.
Okay, so if I go back to the Morningstar report, what you're going to see is the market value. The first column is your market value. The second column is the list of funds that are available on the 401k through Nationwide as a provider. Next is a ticker, then the market, then the category that these particular funds fall into. Then I have your Morningstar rating. Keep in mind, Morningstar rating goes from 1 to 5, 5 being best. And when Morningstar is evaluating a fund, they're looking at funds in the same category, and they're looking at past history. What were your returns in the past? And that's how they come up with your rating. And what you're going to see is then your returns for 3 months, year-to-date, 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year, and then your fees. What are you paying to be invested in that fund? So if I start with the first, we have nothing in the money market fund. Money market right now, keep in mind, with interest rates dropping so far, is currently paying 0.001. The Nationwide Fix Select is what's called the GIC fund. It's a guaranteed insurance product. So right now, they have a current yield of 1.75%. I called Nationwide to try to get the past returns, and they said they really don't have it. They guarantee a certain amount each quarter, and they change that as each quarter goes. So right now, we have $505,000 in there. We have fixed income, we have the PGIM Total Return Bond Fund, and you're gonna see that is gonna invest in bonds going out anywhere from 3 to 10 years. Right now, they're kind of on the short side because of interest rates being so low. And I think as interest rates go up, they'll start to increase that, but we don't see that happening anytime in the near future. Your 1 year return in a bond fund is 5%. And keep in mind, that's because when interest rates fall, the price of bonds go up. And with the interest rate dropping so drastically at the beginning of this year, that really helped the returns on your bond funds. Are you having feedback there? Is it driving you crazy?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Fidelity Advisors Strategic Income is a multi-sector bond fund. We don't have any money in it right now. This particular fund you're seeing has a negative over 3 months and 1 year, 3.4%. This particular fund, the way this works is that they invest about 30 to 40% in high yield bonds. High yield bonds are junk bonds. And so you're investing in securities that have a lower credit rating, and in order to entice you to invest, they pay you a higher yield on that. The beginning of this year, when the pandemic started, people really jumped out of high yields because they're afraid to be invested in companies that have a lower credit rating and what would happen with everything closing down. Since then, they've turned around. You're seeing year to date, you have a positive of 1.9. Vanguard Inflation Protection Securities. This is a hedge against inflation. And so at least 80% of the securities here are invested in Treasury inflation protection bonds. Now, here's the thing that's amazing is it's up 8.49% and for the year, 9.18%. And this, we really haven't had any inflation over the last year. So it's pretty impressive that, you know, it's kind of done phenomenally well in this market. Your large cap stocks are gonna invest in companies $10 billion in assets or more. And I don't have up there, Mike. So sorry, I'm just gonna read off of this one chart I wanna show you. Where do I have it saved? Hold on 1 second. Here's the thing that I think is pretty important for everybody to know is for the month of November, the stock market, the S&P 500 index was up 10.3%. Just for 1 month, up 10.3%. Pretty incredible. And then what you're going to see, and this is what's so important, is large cap stocks are broken into large cap value. Large cap value funds are going to invest in stocks that are going to pay you a dividend, and they're looking for stocks that are underperforming in the market. You're going to see that the large cap value stocks have not done well over the last year. Their return for year to date, sorry, where's the value, is a negative 1%. Compared to your large cap growth stocks, and large cap growth stocks are gonna have money in technology, a lot of money in technology. In fact, their top five will be the FANG stocks. So all names you know and touch, and you're gonna see the large cap growth fund year to date is up 32%. So it really is a 33% difference year to date between value stocks and growth stocks. But over the last month, the month of November, when the vaccines started to come out and the economy, the market on a whole thought there would be a blue wave on the election. But with the Republicans keeping the Senate for right now, that was a plus for the market, not to have the Democrats take over the whole House and the presidency. So what you're gonna see is that really helped your large value stocks, up 13.45 for 1 month, the value. So long-term, we think value is a good investment, kind of underperformed over the last couple of years compared to growth. So when we look at your returns, this was a long story to get into this one section. when we look at your JP Morgan equity income fund, you're going to see it's a large value. It's a 4-star from Morningstar, but year to date it's down 10%. Keep in mind these are as of October, these numbers. And 1 year down 4.81 compared to your T. Rowe Price growth fund that was up 21% for year to date and up 1 year 30%. So the market has really paid to be in technology. With people working from home, technology stocks have done well over the last, you know, 3-4 years, but they really took off this year. So even though you see that negative in the JP Morgan, they're doing exactly what they should be doing and no need to be making changes there. The Vanguard 500 index is going to do just what the index does minus this low fee of 0.04%. MidCap is going to invest in companies $2 to $10 billion. So we have the MFS MidCap Value, and again, value down, negative 11.68 year to date, negative 6.31 for 1 year. And then the Extended Market Index is a positive 4 for year to date and up 11 for 1 year. The MidCap Growth Fund has done really well. Again, technology is really running the market or has been running the market, up 16% in 1 year, up almost 23%. Small cap, so small cap is going to invest in companies $2 billion and below. And so we have the Vanguard Small Cap Value Fund, and again, down 15%. Small cap has had difficulties over the last year and a half. Small cap stocks have not been in favor. And you're going to see that Columbia Small Cap Index Fund down 13% and for 1 year down 7.75%. And then the Janus Henderson Triton Fund is the fund that is on our watch list. It is a positive year to date in 1 year. I like the fund a lot. I've been using this for a while in most of my funds. And when I call them to say, okay, why would it be that you've kind of underperformed your peers? They said that in the last rally, they have very high quality stocks in their portfolio, that some of the stocks that have really taken off didn't have that kind of high quality. So we'll continue to watch that particular fund. International is having the same problem. You have the value stocks are going to be down 13% year to date, down for the year 8.69 on your value. Your large blend, the MFS International Diversification, is going to invest in, they just added a fund. It's a fund of funds. So they have 6 different mutual funds inside there. They're going to invest in large companies in developed countries. They're going to invest in small companies in developed, and then they also have an emerging markets fund. So really diversified. If you wanted one fund to get into international stocks, that would be the one. Although when you look right below it, that Vanguard, the growth fund, up 30% year to date and 42% for the year, has done phenomenally well. The JP Morgan Emerging Markets up 15% year to date and up 22% for 1 year. JP Morgan has been very pro international funds for a while. And their theory is when we came out of the recession, you know, the US stocks did really well over the last 10 years, where international did not do as well. So we find that you're still buying stocks cheap on the international side. And the emerging market thought is, emerging market countries are developing a middle market. I mean, not a middle, a working class. And working class people buy things. And so they think that long-term emerging markets will be doing well. And you can see JP Morgan's been doing well in that market. Lastly, we have the target date funds, the T. Rowe Price retirement funds, and we have the 2025 fund right now is what we're using. Let me just show you. Bear with me 1 second. So this is the target date analysis. One of the things you have to keep in mind and what is very important is in retirement plans right now, most of the money are going towards target date funds because they're easy. It's set it and forget it, and you're hiring a manager to manage your money for you. So if you're gonna invest in that. And if you're offering it as a plan sponsor, which we are, we have to make sure that we're reviewing and looking at the funds on a timely basis as we are right now. And so what you're gonna see is what I did was compare the T. Rowe Price to JP Morgan, Nationwide, American Funds, Vanguard, the T. Rowe Price that you have, and Fidelity. And what this chart first shows, oh, sorry, Mike, I'm on the target date fund.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, and I'm on page 2 there. So this, what this actually shows is the JP Morgan, when you retire, when you, or your target date, we assume, you know, the target date is 65 is still the thought there, is JP Morgan's gonna have the least amount of money in the stock market when you retire. They have about 33% in the stock market. Compared to T. Rowe Price, when you go to retire, they have, or get to your target date, they have 55% in the stock market. So this is why you really have to look at these funds when you're evaluating them and make sure you know what you're buying. There's two different philosophies in investing. If we look at the actual glide path here, you're gonna see T. Rowe Price made a decision in the beginning of this year to add more equity to their portfolios across the board. So the T. Rowe Price is this light purple, and I'm on page 4, Mike. And what you're gonna see here is they have, most of the money is in the stock market. And you look at all the other providers of target date funds, they're pretty high. They're over 90%, but not as aggressive as the T. Rowe Price. And then if you follow the line down, what you're going to see is that gray line is the target date. So they assume you're retiring there. What T. Rowe Price does is they continue to reduce your amount of money in the stock market throughout your retirement. So participants have the ability to keep their money in 401k plan, or sorry, retirement plan in your case, and just let it work for them, because normally it's cheaper to run your money through a retirement plan than through an IRA. So this gives your participants, I know you only have one now, but Kevin, but long term, it's advantageous to have something like this, the target dates. And if I go through, I'm not going to go through this whole report. If I just go through and take a look at returns and how these funds have actually done, I like looking at this page that I come to. I'm on page, Mike, I'm on page 18. And this report actually looks back and says, you know, how has your funds done compared to other funds out there? And so if we look at the, they're going back to 2015 in this case. And when we look at the money, if you invested $10,000, 9/30/2015, you had a cumulative return of 53% through 9/30/2020, so over the last 5 years. Your average annual rate of return was 8.8%. So you're seeing that the T. Rowe Price, when you compare this 2020 fund to the other providers, took the risk because they do have the most in the stock market, but that has paid off for them long term. And if I go to the next page, the 2020-2030 fund, same thing, you have an 8.62%, oh, sorry, you have, it's on the next page, 10.12 average annual rate of return. You're saying the American funds outperformed just a little bit, but overall, the T. Rowe Price have done really well. The 2040 fund also shows you an average annual rate of return over the last 5 years. And keep in mind, that last 5 years includes the beginning of this year when you had that big bear market, 10.92 average annual rate of return. So I think sticking with the T. Rowe Price funds works for the plan. So overall, I have no suggestions to make any kind of fund changes. I think the funds we have in place right now are working well. Are you having any problem dealing with Nationwide at all, Sharon?
No, I think they're much better than the previous experience. And I think the advisor that we have is on the ball. We can reach out to him for anything. And he runs interference for us. So in terms of that, it's made a huge difference.
Oh, good. Good. Okay, so that's all. I mean, I know I ran through this, but we just added these funds last year, and I think they're doing pretty well. So I don't think there's any reason to be making any kind of changes at this point. Everything looks good. We're feeling positive about the market. We think there'll be volatility, you know, through the election, but, you know, we'll see what happens when Biden comes in.
Sounds good. I'm all set.
Okay. I don't blame you. Yeah, I think that the change from principle was well done and very important.
And, I know it was time consuming, but it worked.
Yeah.
So I had also included an investment policy statement, and when I went through it this morning, I saw that it does not include a GIC or a stable value investment option. So I know we were just going to look at that today, but here's my goal and why I'm suggesting we use the this investment policy I sent you, and I can add the stable value fund, is when we're evaluating your funds, how do we decide to put something on a watch list? It's me saying, okay, it's underperforming, we should put it on a watch list. Where if we, this investment policy statement actually corresponds to that FI 360 report that we went over, your monitoring report. And so they automatically tell us what should be on our watch list. We are not required to make any changes once it goes on a watch list. That's our decision as a committee. But it does give us kind of a process, and the two correspond together. So it kind of works for you and for me as a fiduciary on the plan.
Kevin, that makes sense to you?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not much difference than the one. The other one we were using is pretty generic, but this one just gives us automatically the watch, but still gives us flexibility. There's no timeline to make a change. It wouldn't be like, oh, we were supposed to meet in February and we were supposed to make a change because something was on the watch list for a year. That doesn't happen. It just still gives us a lot of flexibility, but just automatically tells us, you know, who's on a watch list.
Sounds good to me.
I'm fine with it.
Okay, so I'm going to update that and I'll send it over to you, Sharon, and you can, I don't know if you need to have it approve that or we, you know, how that works. But I'll get that over to you today.
I think it'd be good if we approved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
that. Mike, you want to move forward and maybe vote the policy, the changes noted?
Yep.
Okay, so then I guess we'll take an official vote. So I'll make a motion to move the policy with the changes as noted.
And I second it.
Okay, perfect. I'll get the updated policy out to you.
Well, let's just, for the formality sake of it, vote on that. All in favor?
Sorry.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. Thank you. Okay. Good. Well, this has been a very good, concise, well done meeting.
very concise. I like it.
Right. All right. So is there anything further that we want to do at this point? Hearing none, I'd accept a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
Somebody?
I'll second.
Excellent.
Right.
Moving and seconded to adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
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 The meeting is hereby adjourned at 1:31 p.m.
Sure.
Excellent. Well done.
I'll see you in 29 minutes, Mike.
I'll just stay right here. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Very good.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Happy holidays.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yep.